Our text today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 15, and I'm using the New Living Translation. The words will be on the screen for you to follow. Very familiar passage. I invite you, if you will, to follow along with me. Pray like this, Jesus says. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. For the Word of God in Scripture, for the Word of God in us, for the Word of God with us, thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you, if you will, to pray with me. O holy God, who hears the deepest parts of our hearts, come now. Come now in this moment and listen to us and speak to us. Speak to us in a way that we can hear, in a way that calls us to respond. Allow us, O God, to feel your very presence in this place. And help us, O God, to open our lives to you, that this day we may experience renewal and transformation. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord. For we, your children, need to hear your voice, need to feel your loving heart, and need to be connected to you. Amen. We continue in our series this Lent of looking at the Apostles' Creed. We've been on a long journey with it, and now we come to that statement of the forgiveness of sins. Not a topic we like to talk about very much around here. But to do that, we need to ask the question, what is sin? You don't hear about sin a lot in the Methodist Church. It's kind of like we like to think about we don't sin. Anybody not sin yesterday? Good, I'm glad you're not lying to me. Y'all are in church after all. And there are several ways to answer this question. One definition of sin is that we miss the mark. I like that definition. We simply miss the mark. We kind of go off stray. We're trying to hit it, but we just don't get there. Another way of defining sin is that we break the relationship. We break relationship. We break the relationship between us and God, between us and other people, and we break the relationship with ourselves. We break that very important relationship of God, who God created us to be, and the community that God created us to be in. Is there anything that stands between us and the divine will of God? It is very real in the world. And it is a force that takes us away from who we are and whose we are. It deludes us into thinking that we're all that in a bag of chips, as my mama used to say. All right? It is a force that takes us to doing that which we should not do, and keeps us from doing that which we should, to paraphrase Paul. It is that force that causes us to become powerful in our own eyes and try to seek all manner of which of controlling ourselves and others. It makes us think that we are the center of the universe, does it not? And that our desires are more important than anybody else. And it also, sin is a way of putting blinders on ourselves, is it not? We go about our own lives without any consideration of those around us. It is a way of becoming blind. It is a way of becoming ignorant, if you will, of the plight of everyone else in the world. It is a hardness of heart. It is a disease, as Wesley would say, in need of healing. The power of sin in our lives is very real. We can see that. Just watch the TV news if you want to know about the power of sin. We can see where there's hunger and poverty and war. We see the power of sin in our own lives, do we not? We can look at our own families and see where sin has taken hold. The power of sin also can make us feel as though we're the most important item in the world. And sin can take us from becoming the compassionate people that God created us to becoming the most stingy and the most hateful people on the face of the earth. Sin can also cause us to do things that rational people wouldn't do. You know about the power of sin. It has wrecked lives, caused addictions, caused us to make decisions that just don't make sense. The power of sin is very real in our world and in our lives. Excuse me. Because the power of sin is real in our world, Christ came to reveal to us God's nature. God's nature is pure love. God's nature is to break the cancel the power of sin in our lives. We read about this in Psalm. Psalm 103:8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love." God does not want us to succumb to the power of sin. God wants to break the power of sin in the world and in our own individual lives. Christ was the epitome of God's nature among us. As he walked among us, as he lived among us, he showed us the liberation of that great love of God. What did he do? He ate with sinners. He went to the highways and byways and called people in. He healed people of body, mind, and spirit. He went to people that society had thrown away and said, "You're good enough. You are loved and you are wanted by God." He said to them that you are created for more than you ever could imagine, and that you are worth more than anyone has told you. He said to people that you are so loved that I am willing to die for you. He says that sin cannot have you because you are mine. He revealed to us a God that would do anything, anything to redeem us from the power of sin. Jesus was the perfect example of what it means to live a life in which sin is canceled, in which sin does not have the power over us. Jesus revealed God's nature to us. So we come to the point of forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is saying, I want to turn from that which is breaking my relationship with God. I want to turn away from that which is causing me to miss the mark. The root word of forgiveness actually means to turn 180 degrees away, to turn back to God, to turn back to Christ, so that my eyes is no longer being drawn to that which is pulling me away from my one true love, to Christ. Forgiveness also releases us from the guilt and the shame. But it's more than that. It's a calling forth. It's calling us into a life in which we live as redeemed people, in which we go from this place of darkness into a place of light, in which we go from a place of hopelessness into a place of hope, in which we go from a place of inaction to a place of action, in which we go from a place in which we don't think we are worth anything until we live with the knowledge and the assurance that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that not only are we that, but every living soul that walks the face of the earth are children of God. Forgiveness calls us forward. Forgiveness calls us into a life in which we constantly learn how to love perfectly. And then once we experience this forgiveness, then we have to become forgiving as well. And this is where it gets really tough in Scripture. Did you catch this when we read it? It says, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us." Did you catch that? Oh, wait a minute. God, forgive me in the same way in which I have forgiven others? You mean my forgiveness is contingent upon how I'm willing to forgive? Oh, I don't like that. Wait. I want it all working in my favor, and I don't want to have any responsibility. And then he goes on to say, if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to give others, your Father will not forgive you your sins. You mean I've got to be responsible for myself? I've got to live like Jesus? Hey, now, come on. If we truly have experienced forgiveness, we've experienced the marvelous, amazing grace of God, then therefore that has changed us. And we must become forgiving people. That doesn't mean that we say it's okay what has happened to us, that the hurt and the pain that's been inflicted on us is okay. It simply means that we release ourselves from the bitterness. There's this old quote, you either get bitter or you get better. Let me say that again. You either get bitter or you get better. Okay? For in forgiving the other person, you release yourself from that bondage of bitterness. Okay? You don't have to say it's okay what happened. But what you do is say, I'm going to forgive so that I can move on. Okay? So that there's no power over me because of that bitterness. Forgiveness. We have to become forgiving people. You remember Jesus on the night in which, at the Last Supper, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you, for the forgiveness of sins." Then he was led out into the garden and arrested on trumped up charges. And he didn't say a word. Then he was taken to the cross where he was nailed to it. And what did he say from the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even in that moment, he was offering us forgiveness. Should we not be doing the same thing? Should we not be doing the same thing? Yes, it's a hard life. It's a high expectation. But I know of no other way in which we can serve the Master. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.